Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
We do not need an excuse here in America or on a hot summer day to talk about ice cream.
Never need an excuse. Ice cream, you scream.
We all scream. And Eddie Murphy screams in this famous skit about what happens to little kids when they hear the ice cream truck.
There's something about the ice cream truck that make kids lose it. Ice cream! Ice cream! The ice cream man is coming!
Ice cream is a miracle. And there's nothing scientific about the reaction to ice cream that people get when they hear about ice cream.
Favorite sound of summer.
There is something scientific about ice cream. And here to demonstrate, okay, because this is like the junk knowledge that I have in my brain. I've got 6 or 7 balloons blown up and taped together.
Listeners, I wish you could see
what you are looking at here. And here, feel the balloons here, everyone, listeners. If you blew up cream, okay, so that you could microscopically see what it's composed of, it would look like this. Cream is the miracle that makes ice cream possible because these balloons here, right? They're fat globules. Cream contains fat in globules, in fat balloons. Everything else in the spaces, that's like the water, that's like the rest of the sort of nutrients. Because cream contains these fat balloons, you can turn it into ice cream. It's part of the physics and science of ice cream. And if something like this happens, you pop the balloons, okay? You pop the fat globules. Ice cream ceases to be ice cream. It just becomes crusty, icy treat stuff. So there's all kinds of science in ice cream, even before we talk to Susan Burton, who's a writer and ice cream lover living in New York, right here in the studio. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning.
And Alex Stupak is a pastry chef at WD50 right here in New York. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning.
And Alex Talbot is a chef and co-owner of Ideas in Food in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning.
Two Alexes and a Susan and ice cream for the next 7 minutes or so. First of all, there's a lot of science that even allows us to make ice cream to begin with, Susan. But how is science being applied to actually enhance and upgrade what we already know to be a summer miracle?
Well, sure. There are people in restaurants, people in factories, and people in home kitchens using science to improve ice cream. I think the two Alexes will be able to talk about the science in the restaurants. Science in factories, for example, is being used to deliver low-fat ice cream.
Which is a challenge. You need the fat to make ice cream do what it does.
Exactly. John has these huge, big orange balloons right here in the studio. And when you pop one, the little molecule structure is impaired. And the same thing happens when you try and pop a fat globule to make ice cream low fat. The structure itself kind of girds against our dismantling it. It's like ice cream has a protective force to keep it tasting creamy.
So, Alex, what gives you the courage? Alex Stupak here in the studio. What gives you the courage? Let me hand some ice cream to Amy here. Amy, we got tons of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm going to share the wealth here. What gives you the courage to mess with this natural miracle called ice cream?
Well, at WD50, where the unexpected is what is expected, the greatness of ice cream is nothing we're ever going to escape. So we have the obligation to present it in new ways.
So give me a sense of how high the bar is for you.
It's getting pretty high. I mean, I think for a long time, what was in vogue was savory ice creams, just manipulating the flavor.
Right.
So instead of vanilla, you have curry flavored,
sure,
or anchovy flavored, or we use it for savory applications. I don't think that's what's exciting anymore. I think what's becoming exciting for us now is actually changing the form or the way it's actually physically manipulated.
And WD-50 is not either a lubricant or a cult in New York. It's actually a restaurant.
Tis not.
Yes.
50 is the address, and WD are the initials of the chef and owner, Wiley Dufresne.
All right, so curry ice cream, that's out. What are you doing to actually manipulate the texture or to make it shapeable and presentable in radically different ways?
Well, one new thing we're doing is something we call inflated ice cream. In manufacture of ice cream, there's a term called overrun, which is a way of measuring how much air is in ice cream.
Uh-huh.
Premium ice creams are generally known as having very low overrun, being very dense, very rich, creamy, heavier, basically
right.
Heavier.
Better.
Better. What we did to create a novel effect is we took it in the other direction and gave our ice cream basically 300% overrun, or jacked it full as
lots
much air
bubbles.
As possible.
Lots more air.
It becomes unique because we're serving a typical portion of ice cream, say 30 or 60 grams, well, typical for a restaurant, not eating an entire pint out of your freezer. But what you get is so voluminous, it seems like you're eating an entire pint when you're actually not.
Wow.
So this is Amy. Call me old-fashioned, maybe even regressive. Why not just plain old ice cream? Isn't it delicious the way it is?
It is. It is delicious the way it is. And we do serve, quote-unquote, plain old ice cream at the restaurant. But
probably don't call it plain old, though, if you're no. WD-50, right?
I mean, there's nothing plain. Ice cream's great, even when you get it in its most basic forms.
All right, so Alex Talbot out there in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, what do you do to mess with the ice cream miracle?
Well, John has his mouth full.
Yeah, I mean.
Mess with the miracle. I don't think it's messing with the miracle. I think it's just seeing what's possible.
And? So what's possible?
Well, we did make hot ice cream a number of years ago, which was an effect of sorts, because if you look at ice cream and all of what it was and is, we just did the opposite of it. Ice cream has to have a texture, has to melt. It's got to have body, has to have structure, has to have flavor, and we just reversed it. So we've had some people say that it's not hot ice cream because it's more of a mousse or it's a gel, and it is a gel. It's formed a network. But really, I mean, ice cream is not quite a gel itself, but it certainly formed an inner, a structure. The crystals, the ice crystals, have formed a network. So in that sense, we've been able to kind of play with people and serve them something warm at the end of a meal.
But you're still eating it and they don't. But you're still, you know, using the same fat balloons, the globules in cream. You're just arranging them differently, and you happen to be able to do it at a warm temperature.
And we're using hydrocolloids, which allow us to form a gel when they're hot, these ones in particular. We're looking really at you mentioned manufacturers, and really conversations with individuals like Wiley and Alex. We've had many of them over the years. They're certainly resources and friends that we chat with about ideas and what's possible.
So
it's just seeing what we can do and how do you still make it delicious.
So, Alex, what kind of equipment are you using to do all of this engineering? I mean, I'm kind of picturing like a mad scientist with, you know, bubbling vials and, you know, not just your typical kitchen. How do you do this?
We've got a blend of things. We have, I mean, blenders are important. We have certainly a lot of kitchen equipment, as we're from kitchens originally. So Paco jets but for the most part, it's just what you'd have at home.
Right, I mean, you can definitely do this at home. So Susan Burton, you've tried a lot of these creations. Give us some reviews here before we go.
Well, let's see. I guess the most bizarre ice cream I've tried is this new ice cream from Cold Stone Creamery, which apparently, which does not melt. It's made from Jell-O pudding. I think we may have some here in the studio. And the idea is that you get a cone, and instead of dripping down your cone, the ice cream sort of forms a pudding. I actually tested this ice cream out by leaving it in my car for 2.5 hours while I went to the beach. So ice cream in a parked car, hot sunny day, 2.5 hours. Came back to the car. The light gray upholstery was unstained.
Wow.
Not a drip in sight. Yes.
The magic of science in the summer. So would you recommend any of these for people aside from their upholstery?
I mean, as far as taste, the Cold Stone Creamery ice cream lacked a certain delicacy, I'll say, that I associate with ice cream. It was tough. It was, you know, I sort of knew that it would withstand the heat even before.
So I think I'm hearing the answer no.
Well, but the science is fun, that's for sure. Susan Burton, writer and ice cream lover living in New York. Science is one thing, but ice cream is just a miracle. You don't necessarily want to mess with it. But Alex Stupak, pastry chef at WD-50 in New York, I love your ideas. More air is better. You can eat more and feel less full. And Alex Talbot, the chef and co-owner of Ideas in Food out there in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, where your kitchen lab is, right, Alex?
That's true, yeah. I guess your kitchen workshop. That's good. Workshop works.
Thanks, guys. Have a happy summer day, and be sure to eat some ice cream. I'm John Hockenberry.
I'm Amy Holmes.
This is The Takeaway.